Prologue. During the time of our civilization when the first Bible was written, events were not dissimilar to our own. The world was in a major uproar. The Roman Empire was running around all over the place, slaughtering thousands of people who did not obey and give in to their tyranny. And many parts of the world, most of Western Europe, were enslaved in the Roman Empire. The violence was rampant. There was no real order in the world except the order that was imposed by the Roman Emperor or a similar despot, a king or queen in another part of the world, who would rule over their people with an iron fist, claiming, by the way, that they were authorized to do this by God, and some of them even claiming to be God. So with this backdrop, it's no wonder that people during biblical times would be very, very concerned about how to define God. And they would necessarily be very interested in defining a God that was not embodied by a political leader, a tyrant, a despot, an emperor, etc., king or queen. Because that just instinctively feels grossly unfair and unjust. Those who have the gold rule, that was the golden rule for thousands of years. And so it became a very popular thing to try and describe God in a way that most people would understand. Very few, less than 1%, probably less than 0.1% of the world's population could read or write. And so the stories would be told to each other, greatly exaggerated, and passed on largely by word of mouth for centuries, until such time as the most popular stories could be written down in pen. God today is a much different concept than what we were given in the original Bible, because we now have scientific evidence of where God might be, what he might look like. And whenever I say he in this book, I'm talking about he or she. God obviously does not have a gender, and so I don't want to say that every time, so we'll just use the commonplace he to refer to God. It seems too impersonal. But God certainly isn't a he or a she. We know that now. And it would be extremely sexist for anyone to suggest that God is a he or a she, wouldn't it? But in the original days of the Bible, of biblical times, the first Bible, most people lived in a very sexist society, so it would be very common and acceptable to clothe God in male's clothing and even a male's skin. Dress him in robes and have him sport a long white beard. In biblical times, that was the concept of God. And you can see it in the paintings of God by Michelangelo and all the great painters, all the way up until current times, when no one is really interested in painting God in that type of garb. Because it's apparent to most of us now that God is more of a concept than an individual who would need to take human form. Some of us still believe that because of dogma, tradition, the old Bible, and preachers who want to interpret it in an extremely old-fashioned, primitive way. The strict constructionists, they might call themselves. For them, there's no need to revise our image of God or tell different stories. But in this author's opinion, there is a crying need to describe God more closely to what he may be. And before we get into that, I think it's safe to say what God is not, a lot of which is found in the old Bible. For example, God tells Abraham in the old Bible to kill his son, to prove to God that he really, really, really believes in him. Now, what's wrong with this age-old fable that still remains accepted as truth by many millions of people on this planet? But what's wrong with that? A, can you really conceive of God who would be that insecure that he needs to have us prove that we really, 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 really believe in him? I don't think God would be that insecure. And two, would he really ask us to kill our son or to kill anybody? With a knife, no less. Not even in a humane way, but in about the most painful way imaginable. Now true, at the last minute, God stays Abraham's hand, and just before he's about to cut his son open, says, "That's okay, Abraham, I was only kidding. You don't really have to kill your son. I just wanted you to prove to me that you really, 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 really believed in me. And boy, now I understand." Well, and there's the third problem with this story. Can you imagine a God who, first of all, is that insecure? Second, tells someone to commit murder? And thirdly, finally, has it proven to him that this fellow believes? The God that I have in my mind wouldn't need proof. He would know all the time where the true believers are and where they aren't. Because God would be that smart. God would know the past, the present, and the future, and be involved in each and every one of our lives in a very, very intimate way. And would have absolute certainty about who is who and where we are at in our comprehension of the universe and how God works it. These things I know. And these are the kinds of truths that we will attempt to portray in the God Particle Bible. We include no fairy tales, no fables, no stories that depict God in any kind of human form, because a God of the universe can't be that small. And instead, we will replace all of these mistakes and misconceptions and mistruths were something that we can prove. For in the God Particle Bible, we can prove, and we will prove, that God exists. If you follow every page carefully and vow to at least try to understand every paragraph as much as you possibly can, then before this book closes, you will have proof that God exists. He is not dressed in white robes and has a long white beard, and nor would God ever ask something of you that is immoral or stressful in any way. The God of God particle physics, that is the proven God, the creator of all things, is involved in your life to an even more intimate degree than the God of the first Bible, the primitive Bible that we all know. God is even more intimately involved with your life than you have been led to believe thus far. Because thus far, the preachers give you a picture of a God who is demanding, has certain rules that you must follow, has rewards for those who follow the rules, and punishments for those who do not. And that's my biggest problem with the concept of God in the Old Bible. God is not going to stoop to the level of being our police and our master, where he sets the rewards and the punishments like we would train a dog in order for us to do the right thing. Because in that, there is no free will. There really isn't, when you think about it. Not if you have a brain. Not if you have any intelligence at all. All you would do is attempt to obey the rules, and then you're with God forever. Much too simplistic. And you don't even have any free will if you have a brain, because who would want to be punished in the fires of hell all of the rest of eternity? No one that I know. And then throw into that mix the fact that even if you do disobey the rules and are headed for hell's fire, all you have to do is ask for forgiveness, and that relieves you of hell. You have a get out of hell free card whenever you ask for forgiveness. That's a little too extreme in the opposite, isn't it? And that excuses an awful lot of human behavior when we think, oh, well, I can get away with it just by asking for forgiveness. So under those rules of the old Bible, serial murderers don't go to hell if in the final hour of their life, just before they're executed, a priest walks into their cell and asks him to ask God for forgiveness, and he does. He's escaped hell. Pretty simple, isn't it? Beautiful system. If you're five. But when we get more mature in life and we see how life works in the real world, we know that there are some things that can never be forgiven, not even by God. And therefore, we have to take a much more careful examination of our lives and look deep into our souls to find out who we really are and who we intend to be. And that's how the God that I will describe in this book actually works. Because we have found that all of reality is actually not reality as we've thought about it for thousands of years. Reality is actually just a set of probabilistic events, probability of things happening. And anything can happen. Anything. The possibilities are endless at every second and every moment of your life. If you don't believe that, think about the thousands of people whose life comes to an end through no fault of their own. They're minding their own business, wonderful people, and something like a bolt of lightning hits them on the golf course, and they're gone. A meteor can fall from outer space and hit you on the head. It's happened, and you're gone. And so the randomness of the universe is clear, and it's shown to us at all times. All we have to do is look around. How many people do you know that were killed in a car accident? For example, these are random things that happen in all of our lives. Those are the extreme examples, but you have randomness hitting your life at every moment of every day. In some of the choices that you do, the things you eat, the things you drink, who you neighbor with, who you party with, who you work with, who you marry with, the things you say and do with your children, the things they say and do to you, the things you say and do to strangers. Completely uncontrolled by God. However, what we are going to show you in this book is that there is a way. And it's only recently been revealed to us. But there is a way to know all about God and how these little events in our lives all total up to be the reality that we experience on a day-to-day basis. The activity of the God particle, and it's actually more accurate to say the God particle field, because a God particle is really only a probabilistic point anywhere within the God particle field. But this field surrounds you all the time, at every moment of every day. And you cannot escape it. If you escaped the God particle field and the influence that it has over you, you would be in a different dimension. As far as we know, there is only one dimension. There are many others theorized, and someday we may discover other dimensions, but as of today, there's only one that we have to worry about. And that dimension of the universe, the one we all live in, is created on a second-by-second, millisecond-by-millisecond, day-to-day basis by the God particle field. So all of the events that take place in your life are pre-programmed in a way. It doesn't mean that you lack free will. You still have free will, but all the probabilistic events of what might or could happen in your life exist at all moments, until the moment that the God particle field influences the way that your future moments will go. So the moment from this point forward, the moment that you are listening to this, and more especially the moment that you finish this book, you will have enough information to actually alter your fate. Because instead of relying on the random events that are thrown your way from the motion of the God particle field, and we explain that later in the book, for now just call it the motion. Just as the weather on the earth is a motion, constant changes in high and low pressure and winds and temperatures moving all around the surface of the planet, that's weather. The God particle field obeys these same rules of physics. And there are high and low pressures all throughout the universe that creates things as large as galaxy formation and as small as every significant event in your life. Because the God particle field is the field that everything must move through. It cannot be avoided, just as you cannot avoid this dimension. And so as all of these pressures flow around the universe, your fate is composed of the sum and substance of all these total events, which are too numerous to count. Because there are billions and billions of them taking place in the size of your thumbnail, even as we speak. So multiply that in your mind about how many countless events are going on in the universe just within your own body. Then multiply that by the space around your body and the other people inhabiting that space, in the other events that inhabit that space. All of it part of the God particle field. But today, we have been blessed with a tiny, tiny opening. It's a slight pinhole into the workings of the universe through these events that the God particle field generates. In looking through this pinhole, I have devised a technology that you will now be privy to if you continue reading and listening. A technology that allows you to take control of the events in your life. And if enough of us take control of the events in our lives in this manner, we can collectively take control of all the events that comprises human civilization and the future of our species. We now have this technology, though we only have a pinhole vision of it since the discovery of the God particle field and the confirmation of it is so recent. Science must now open that pinhole up to a window the size of a movie screen so we can all start to see it in greater and greater resolution and detail, which we will. But at this point, this Bible, the God Particle Bible, will give you enough insight to where you can get started and actually pioneer in the field. And I use the word pioneer selectively because it is a brand new frontier of knowledge. The most important one that has ever opened up to us. So this is not for the faint-hearted. This information is completely new and different. And this is why I put it in the form of a Bible. Because you must look at it with that kind of historic perspective. The discovery of God and how He works, His miracles, has just happened. And the greater news is, it's so simple that every single one of us can understand it if we want to. And we can put this power to use in our own personal lives in any selfish way we want to. Now, before you go any further in this book, I strongly recommend that you Google a few keywords and look at some of the videos that have been produced by the science community that are very, very easy to understand. If you Google CERN, C-E-R-N, That's the organization that manages the Large Hadron Collider. So there's another keyword for you to Google, Large Hadron Collider. And the other keyword is the God particle. And one more is the Higgs boson, because it's also called the Higgs boson, named after the scientist who theorized it, Professor Higgs, H-I-G-G-S. And when you look at the videos that have been produced by these organizations, they have marvelous graphics and demonstrations that actually show you how quantum physics works in a very easy to understand way. Don't get bogged down in the details. Just look at the pictures. And you'll, as they say, pictures say 1,000 words. And so that's a very good side introduction I would like all of the readers to take of this book before you go on. Unless you've already done that. Hundreds of thousands of us have. I can see it in the number of views that some of these videos have. But hundreds of thousands of people means that the odds of you having seen it are very low. And I won't be satisfied until millions and millions and millions of us have watched these videos. One or two of which I have produced. So you can also Google my name, Michael Matheson, and you'll get a different sort of take on what you are about to embark on. But it is the world's first honest and completely accurate take on the meaning and significance of the God particle field. Because the evidence is in. I've seen it in my life. I just didn't know what to call it. And you have seen it in your life. But you didn't know what to call it. And now we know. When by the time you finish this book, that light bulb will go on. Believe me. Where you will look back at your life and some of the choices that you've made, some of the major, most important events in your life, and you will say, aha, that's what he's talking about. That is the influence of the God particle field. And how I could have changed if I'd only known more about the science of what was happening to me. And this is the purpose of the God Particle Bible, to educate as many people as possible, as fast as possible, about how powerful this force is and how you can actually control it and exploit it and manipulate it. Anyone of any age or of any description can do it. Because in God's infinite wisdom, he actually made it quite simple. It just takes a little time to get there. And I have every confidence that most of us will get there soon. All of us will get there someday. We need most of us to get it soon, because we are on the verge of an extremely dangerous and cataclysmic event, which is the possible extinction of all mankind, possibly all life on Earth. This is unacceptable. This would be the greatest sin against the Creator ever committed by any species anywhere in his universe. And our extinction would be just deserts for allowing the possibility of that to continue and to grow, as we are doing now. So I cannot stress enough the importance of you going further with this book and others that will come out and teach even more than I can. But this is the foundation of it all, because in this book I detail the fullest and most simplest technology of how you can use this power that God created for us in the first trillionth of a trillionth of the first second of the Big Bang. It's still here. And it creates everything, including the thoughts that are flying around in your head at this moment and at every moment in your life. In the book, you will learn about the God particle system. I call it GPS. And you think of GPS right now as a global positioning system, something we created that can pinpoint your location on the planet at any given time, or the location of anything else, with an accuracy of 1 or 2 feet. But the GPS that I have devised, the God particle system, gives you the location of your future and how it actually unfolds. What's more important to you? knowing exactly and precisely where you are on the planet, or knowing exactly and precisely where you are in your life's path. Not only where you are, but how you got there. And not only how you got there, but how you can alter that path. And for good or evil, the choice is yours. The God particle field, the GPF, can be viewed as a system and our relationship to it as a system. And it all starts in a place in your brain I call the God particle neurons, the GPN. You have them. Everyone has some. And you can build them up by performing some of the exercises that are mentioned here. In this system, I promise you, will change your life in any direction that you call it, that you direct it to go. All you have to do is see the roadmap and learn how to take the wheel. And that's what the God Particle Bible will show you how to do and why you may want to do that starting now. Don't bother trying to find other works like this, because there are none. I have created the field. I have opened up the research. I have laid down the first card in a series of cards that you'll be able to pick up and follow and make into a deck of cards that will complete your understanding someday, and the profound knowledge of man will change incredibly as all of these cards are dealt us from other researchers. Mine is only the beginning. But if you don't understand it from this perspective, that God is actually speaking to us all, and He actually released this information at this time in our civilization because it was predicted, and because we are monitored, and because God cares for us in a very, very special way. Unless you see it from this perspective, the reality that is now opening to us, and unless you see it in great numbers, I fear the worst. But I am also confident in the knowledge that this information will be almost universally accepted. Please go on to the first chapter when you feel you are ready. And may the force of the God particle field be with you always.